Yes, hello everybody. Welcome back to the Relay Bitcoin session. Today is a special episode because A, we have a very, very special guest from the Bitcoin and Lightning sphere, Oliver Gucker, who will introduce himself shortly. Then two, we are online today because Oliver Gucker couldn't make it here, but that's totally fine. I think we should try new things, especially in this corona atmosphere. We always try to get the people into our office here, but obviously it's everything is possible. And number three, we do it in English because we think it's not because Oliver Gruck is actually Swiss, so he would speak Swiss, German, and German perfectly well. But we do it in English because we think that Lightning, the Lightning topic, is a very international thing, very international phenomena, which we would like to really cater to everybody, so that everybody also in the world can understand what we are talking about, because we think it's a really, really important and progressive topic. And Oliver Gucker is one of the best people to explain some things to us and talk about Lightning, because he really was involved in Lightning from the very beginning. I think like 2016, 17, you started working on this on your previous company, Puzzle ITC, which is also now still very involved and active in the Bitcoin and Lightning space, and actually one of our estimated partners at Relay. And now you are working at Lightning Labs, which is notably one of the most active developer companies in the Lightning space. So really, really glad to have you here, man. It's so good to see you again. We talked.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. We were talking to each other for years now in the scene, and helping the scene grow. It's amazing to have you here. And please introduce you yourself.
Yeah, hi, Julian. Thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, as you said, my name is Oli. I'm Swiss, but currently work for Lightning Labs. Have been for almost a year now. That time really went quickly. And as you also said, I started working on Lightning while I was still working at Puzzle ITC. It was late 2017 when I spun up the first testnet node, I think. And I've been doing something with Lightning since then. So it's a very interesting space, and I'm happy to answer some of your questions.
Awesome. So the first question would be, that's kind of a personal question from me. Usually we ask questions from Answer the Public, so what people are looking for in Google, and questions that we collect from our Twitter community. Obviously, we will ask those questions, but one of my personal questions would be, what does Bitcoin mean for you personally, like in your personal life? How did you get into Bitcoin, and why is it so important in your life? What does it really mean for you?
Sure. It started out as just something very interesting from a technical perspective. So a friend introduced me, and I took the deep dive to understand how it all works. But as it goes with the rabbit hole, it is very deep. And once you fall into it, you uncover all of these other interesting aspects. And it really has become a passion for me, a passion in my personal life, but also in my professional life. So yeah, I dedicated both aspects now to Lightning, Bitcoin and Lightning. It's even come so far that I would say Bitcoin is the best chance we have at the new and fair financial system. So it's really come from the technical beginnings to let's make the world better idealism. It's taken over quite big parts of my life now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember you always, you know, took time to do research and experiment and play around with different technologies around Bitcoin, and also contribute as a really freelance, non-paid, open source contributor. You organized workshops, you organized meetups. So you were really active also in your free time. So that's a very, very cool thing. So today, Bitcoin, it's all about scaling, right? So a lot of questions arise about scaling, and obviously Lightning is I think one of the best shots we have in scaling Bitcoin. So today Bitcoin is quite slow and expensive, a lot of people think, or I mean it's true. For example, credit cards are way faster and way cheaper still. So people could argue, why do we need Bitcoin? Why and obviously also why is it better? And obviously also the question for our us as Bitcoiners: can Bitcoin overtake those other payment alternatives in speed and in cost perspectives?
Yeah, I agree that if you just look at on-chain payments, they are quite slow and expensive compared to credit cards, and that is a feature, not really a bug. But if you look at it from the other way, merchants, someone selling something doesn't really want credit cards. It's just, it has become their only option. But for them, it's really a hassle. They pay 2-3% on top of it. They have to mix that into their prices. If they're lucky, they get their money, like finally get their money after 60 to 90 days. It could always be rejected in that period. So as a merchant, they just have to use credit cards. It's the customer that demands it. But if we could make Bitcoin fast and easy to use, I think merchants would be the first to jump on it, because if they could save 2-3% and get their money immediately settled, that's a big advantage that I think we underestimate. So the big question is, how can we make it fast and easy to use? And that's one reason why we're working on Lightning, because that's one of the proposed solutions. So I think Bitcoin can easily overtake them, but it takes a while. It's just we're still very early. There's still a lot of things to do to develop, but I have no doubt that we can even double the throughput of credit cards easily in the future.
So do you think it will be like with a lot of nascent technologies, that they first are very inferior to other incumbent systems? Like for example, when MP3 launched, it was way, like the technology was worse, it was way weaker than what we have then, which was CDs, and so the music quality and everything was really bad, and so nobody believed in MP3 that it could actually overtake CDs as the music technology. And then a couple of years later, MP3 is obviously way better in sound quality and way easier to share, and you know, way less complex. And so it has become the way better and more used technology. Do you think this could be the same with like these comparisons of Bitcoin and incumbent payment systems like credit cards?
Definitely. If you look at the closed system, the banking system, you could say that's maybe a linear growth. So if you draw a linear line, and an open system, because of its openness, everyone can participate. So it usually takes a more exponential curve to adopt. And if you are in the stage before the linear line crosses the exponential line, that you could look down and say, oh, this is inferior, right? But then just after a very short while, the exponential curve will just take off and leave the linear line behind. And I think that's why this system has so much potential, because it's open. It allows everyone without permission to just use it and adopt it in their own speed and way and whatever. And if there are enough benefits, then people will use it. And it's what we Bitcoiners say gradually at first and then very suddenly. And I think we're slowly approaching the suddenly phase because of other reasons as well. So yeah, I think it will, in a few years, you will look back and say, oh, where did this Bitcoin thing come from? And that suddenly it's everywhere.
Yeah, very good point. So when we talk about scaling Bitcoin, we also always basically talk about Lightning, because it's really, as we said, one of the main technologies that is looked for to scale Bitcoin. So could you explain what is Lightning exactly, and why is it so important and relevant for Bitcoin?
Sure, I'll try. It's not the easiest topic to explain, but in very simple terms, it's a way to trustlessly make Bitcoin transactions faster, way faster than credit card payments even. So we're talking milliseconds, and you get down to the synchronous payments. So you don't have to check the chain, oh, did my payment arrive? You have a synchronous confirmation. That is done through the Bitcoin's ability to write smart contracts. So it involves special contracts on Lightning and on the Bitcoin chain, I mean. And a Lightning channel is just a way to deposit some of your Bitcoin into the second layer that you can then use that money in a faster way. So you kind of transfer money from your savings account, the on-chain Bitcoin, into your, let's say, debit account. And from there, you can just tap your card and use it. So that analogy is kind of, you can use that. So yeah, it's a technology to give your Bitcoin wings, so to say. And But there is a setup phase, and you have to do some on-chain transactions first to get onboarded onto the Lightning network. But once that step is done, you can basically pay anyone on the internet that has also a node. So it kind of becomes like TCP, but for money. So you route payments through the network, and the network consists of other people running Lightning nodes and that open channels, and you use these channels to send money around.
So it's another network on top of the Bitcoin network. So it's like a layer scaling approach, where you have to do way less transactions than as like a private person, as an individual, you have to do way less transactions on the main chain, which are expensive or will be even more expensive in the future. But you can, with one transaction, put like a deposit on the second layer network, where you then can do basically free transactions, as many as you want. And then you can, if you want, you can settle it down with another main on-chain transactions. But like this,
correct,
this would be like the layer for the individuals, and maybe the bigger corporations or even central banks in the future, bigger institutions will probably use for those huge transactions, will probably use directly the main chain, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Cool. And by when do you think we will see this kind of mass adoption for Bitcoin, but also for Lightning, because it's kind of intertwined, I think. So when do you see this really being live and usable by normal people?
As I said, we're still very early. It probably will be a few years still. It really depends on what's going on and the rest of the world. If you've seen the announcement of the Fed, like, yeah, okay, let's screw the 2% inflation, let's just print money forever. It could happen very quickly. But apart from that, I think maybe many users will skip the Bitcoin, as in I use it on chain part, completely, and maybe get onboarded to Lightning directly. If you look at Strike in the US, unfortunately it's not yet available in Europe, but I download an app, I link it to my bank account, and then I can pay any Lightning payment I see online. So I can literally, without having a node, pay whatever I want with Lightning. So Well, it's a custodian solution, so it's not perfect from a sovereignty standpoint, but it gets people onboarded, right? I don't need anything other than a bank account and can pay on the future of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. So I think people will skip the on-chain part, or I mean the mass adoption and use Lightning, but for them it's, I have Bitcoin, I spend Bitcoin and don't know, I mean, you use the internet, right? You don't use TCP or IP or make a distinction between both of them. You just use it. And I think it will probably look kind of similar to that in a way.
Interesting. Okay, I'd never thought about this direct onboarding to Lightning. For me, or for a lot of people now, I think is really, you know, you have a Bitcoin wallet and you buy Bitcoin and you deposit on this Bitcoin wallet. And then you kind of upgrade maybe to a Lightning solution, but to directly onboard on Lightning without even having a Bitcoin wallet, maybe. It's very interesting. So I think we will really,
I could see it that you will tell your grandkids one day, so I used to do on-chain transactions myself, right? And it will sound like I used the Swift network directly from my computer, right? The huge banking network. No end user uses that, right? But all the current fiat go through that. So I think we'll move further away from the chain because it's necessary. It's a shared resource that is limited. It will be interesting to see how it evolves exactly.
I will tell my kids that when I first started my project Relay, we still used legacy addresses.
Cool.
How big is the chance that Lightning, as this Bitcoin scaling technology, will fail or will maybe replaced by another scaling technology? So how sure are you that Lightning will succeed?
Failure is always an option in any project, but I'm very optimistic about the network succeeding. I mean, we have some insight at Lightning Labs because we know the companies that are working on Lightning or on one of our products. I think it's over 70 companies currently that are somehow involved with Lightnings, some big exchanges among them, and they use it every day. It's not something that will work eventually. It is working now and people are using it. So I myself am very optimistic. The second question, can it be replaced? Of course it could, but the other approaches that are out there, I only really know the state chains. They still have a lot of development ahead of them. I think it's still in the very early phases, and Lightning has a very big head start because it is a complicated technology, so there had to be a lot of code written. But I think we are quite rich in features, and now we just have to work on the user experience, adoption, and the safety. So there was a lot of development that was necessary, and I think other projects might just won't be able to catch up.
So a technological head start for sure, in terms of development, but also in terms of usage, like in terms of user demand. I mean, the network, can you maybe, do you have like latest numbers? How many, how is the usage of the Lightning Network look like at the moment?
It is kind of hard to say because you only see the public part, right? There could be a whole network of private channels that we would never know about. So that's also a feature we don't really know. The public part is around 1,000 BTC in channels, just crossed that again recently. I think around 35,000 channels and maybe 10,000 active nodes, somewhere around that. If you look at charts, it looks like it's been stagnating, but that's like the internet infrastructure. You don't need infinite amount of BTC locked in because the same BTC can used be used many times to be sent back and forth. So the amount itself doesn't really say anything. And what we do see is people that have nodes or have something to offer, like a shop or our internal services. And I just know that our services, they're skyrocketing, right? People are really using it, demanding it. There are a few big players out there, shops that have an insane amount of transactions. So there is a lot of usage going on, and it's increasing.
I can imagine. Cool, awesome. And what about the nodes? So you talked about nodes. There are around 10,000 nodes, shops run nodes, you guys as a development company run nodes. It's one question that's typed into Google quite a lot is why should people, or how can people run a Lightning node and why should they?
Yeah, it really depends on what you want to do. If you want to learn, if you want to take the deep dive to figure out how it works, you should definitely set up a Bitcoin full node and then connect LND to it and open some channels and play around. Please use testnet first. I've been getting a lot of questions about people screwing up something and needing to recover their funds. So please try testnet first. It's a really good way to learn, but if you just want to use the network and pay something, you can. There's a lot of mobile wallets out there that are quite usable. There's a huge list, but just to name a few, like Blue Wallet or Breeze or Phoenix. Some of them are custodial, some of them aren't, and there's varying degrees. And you can just download them, put some BTC on there, and then spend them on the Lightning network. And just to come back to the previous point, these mobile wallets, they won't be counted in these nodes because they will only open private channels and you will never see them on a public network graph. So all these mobile wallets could be hundreds of thousands and we just don't know about them. Mm-hmm. If you're really serious about running a node and you want to earn money from the routing fees, like routing payments through your node, you can also do that, of course, but then you have to be quite active and invest a lot of time into figuring out where the network needs additional liquidity deployed, because if you just open the channel to an exchange, you won't route a lot of payments because there are so many routes already out there. So. Mm-hmm. And maybe the capital that is currently deployed is a bit ahead of the demand. So there's more than enough money already deployed into the network. But once demand catches up, and I'm sure it will do, then new routes will be necessary. So yeah, it's there are many ways to start with Lightning and various degrees of involvement.
Yeah, and as you said, I think for the like normie out there, it's really just easy to, because there are these wallets that already implemented Lightning, and just start out with a small amount and start with them, because they basically do the hard work for you already, and you can directly use Lightning. You named a few, they're very cool, but still there are so many Bitcoin wallets out there, and the Relay is one example. That haven't yet figured out how to implement Lightning correctly. So why is it still so hard for all those Bitcoin wallets to implement Lightning?
I think the most difficult part is because you're on a mobile phone. LND, for example, was first developed to work with a full node. So you have the full Bitcoin blockchain on a device, you connect to it, to run a Lightning node, you have to do a lot of queries to the blockchain. Hey, give me that transaction. What's in that block? Did anything happen? So there's a lot of communication needed to this full node. And as you can imagine, you can't have a 500 gigabyte blockchain on your mobile phone. So that's a difficult part. But Neutrino is one solution for that, which has been very actively developed. And the only missing piece is that a normal Bitcoin full node on the internet can serve people that are using mobile phones. So Neutrino is like you ask a remote node for the stuff you need. You ask a node on the internet, hey, can you give me some blocks? And that this works trustlessly and in a way that the node doesn't know what addresses you use, so to deserve your privacy, a new protocol was needed, and that's called Neutrino. And the support for this was just merged into Bitcoin Core. So the missing piece is now available on, or with the next release, it will be available on every Bitcoin node. So it will be much easier to connect your Neutrino mobile wallet to a Bitcoin full node that is running somewhere else in a way that deserves, that preserves your privacy. So that will help a lot, I think.
Awesome, man, that sounds amazing. So that brings me directly to the next question, like how could a Bitcoin investing app or a Bitcoin wallet or a Bitcoin app, whatever, that's very young, that's very early stage, like us, we don't have a lot of resources, but we would still like to implement Lightning because we think it's the future. How could we or other Bitcoin apps implement Lightning like in an easy and not, you know, in an easy way, technologically, financially, and also regulatory?
Yeah, of course, it would be really nice if I could refill my channels with my bank account, right? So it would be cool to use Relay for that. I think the regulatory part is the trickiest one, as you already mentioned, because if you just open a new channel for every payment, then you do also do an on-chain transaction every time, so that's not really the solution. So what you want to do is convert a BTC into Lightning and send it through a channel. So I think the easiest way would be for an exchange to actually implement that for you, and that they would do the custodianship and everything. And me as a user in the Relay, I could connect Relay to my own node, and then the exchange would just send the money to my node, and I could still, my node has an identity, I can sign keys with it to prove, yes, this is my node. So that part of the regulatory thing would be working, but the sender of the coins probably needs to have a banking license in this particular case with the Swiss laws. It doesn't apply in general to Lightning nodes, but if you're converting fiat into Lightning, then you probably have to have a banking license. Yeah.
And what if only like the wallet part, not the investing part, but only the wallet part of Relay? Is there a possibility that you can kind of receive an on-chain transaction from the Bitcoin exchange, from the exchange that we use in the background, Bitty? We receive it on-chain, but then we can kind of, like Phoenix does, send out, convert it directly to Lightning and send out the Lightning transaction so that we minimize the fees.
Yeah, you want to avoid going to chain for every payment, right? That's the whole point. So you have to batch these payments somehow, and the person that's doing the batching is holding it for a duration. I see maybe some scheme where you could use a loop in to do one on-chain transactions into many channel payments, but I still think the regulatory part on that would be the difficult. There are of course technical solutions to this problem, but I think the regulation is the more difficult.
So it's really about the exchanges and the brokers implementing Lightning so that the kind of customer facing services like Relay is can use it from there and allow their customers, their users to be on the Lightning network. Cool.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. They will want to do that anyway, right? If you look at Bitfinex or BitMEX or both of them who accept Lightning payments, they also see a very healthy growth of that. So, yeah.
Overall, what is the biggest challenge you think for the Lightning network currently? That was one of the Twitter questions we received.
I think at the moment it's probably usability to hide all that complexity that is going on. We're working on that with things like the Lightning Terminal that we recently released, which is a UI for handling your liquidity. So all these technical things that we now implemented, all these new features to just hide them away and make one-click functions, whatever. But yeah, things are coming. As I mentioned, Strike is, for me personally, I think that's a huge step forward in adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as a purist, you would say, okay, the people aren't running their own node, it's going through a custodial service, so it's not what we want, but yeah, people using it, this is what counts. And
absolutely.
There's also some issues around privacy, or there have been some academic papers showing that the privacy on the Lightning Network is good, but not still perfect. So a lot of improvements can still be done there. But as a sender today, you are very much more private than on the Bitcoin blockchain. Because nobody can see who paid you as a recipient. The other side, as a recipient, there are some issues that you can be identifiable. Yeah, I would say these are the two biggest things, but a lot of people working on both of them. So again, I'm very, very confident. Yeah.
Cool. But in the end, you think it will be more user-friendly, more private, and less expensive than to use anything else or even the Bitcoin main chain?
It will be less expensive than the Bitcoin main chain, of course, because prices will go up, the on-chain fees. Lightning routing fees will also go up. I think they're too low at the moment to be healthy and sustainable. But yes, Bitcoin, once it's deployed as we all envision it, will be so much easier than even a credit card. And for the, as I mentioned before, for the merchants, so much better because they get their money instantly, that we will look back to a fiat world and wonder how we ever got it working. I believe. Yeah.
Cool. So last question before my question that I always ask. So this one is very technical. But yeah, maybe you can lose some words because that seems interesting to this Twitter user. What is your take on the flood and loot attack on Lightning? Are anchor commitments possible countermeasures? And by when will L2 start to surface?
I saw that question on Twitter as well. Try to prepare because I'm not too familiar with the flood and loot attack. I think it has to do with if you can somehow force many, many nodes to close their channels at the same time, that this will flood the mempool of chain and make it very expensive for you to get your money back. And I do think that anchor commitment, that's a new type of channel and the new way how the Bitcoin contracts are used to create channels. They are implemented now. The specification pull request has just been merged this week, and LND has implemented it. C Lightning has now implemented it as well. So these are coming, and they will improve a lot, especially around who pays the fee for a channel to open or to close a channel. And what is the fee rate you choose, which is especially important if fee rates go very high and you need the money from your channel to be on chain. So it's an important step, and these anchor commitment channels, they will come very soon. The last part of the question, L2, will take longer because we still need a new a new thing in Bitcoin, so a new Zcash type, which has sparked a lot of discussion because it can also be used in an unsafe way. So it's been discussed for years and years, and before we have that in Bitcoin and widely deployed, you can't do L2 on Lightning. So I guess it will take a few more years.
It needs a change from like Bitcoin Core and the base protocol.
Yes.
It's gonna be, and if it's on top a controversial thing, then it's going to take very long, if even possible to implement.
Yeah, I don't know how controversial the latest version is. I didn't actually actively follow that. But I just know it's not been deployed yet and has gone through a few revisions. So mm-hmm. Yeah, at least a few years.
Okay.
And then you have to implement all the new Lightning stuff on top as well. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I mean, not everything that you think should happen can also happen, and which is also a good thing. So Bitcoin is a technology that is very stable and therefore also low in development activity on the base layer, which is good. Again, discussion, is it a feature or a bug? We'll see. But if it's going to be more helpful than controversial, then it will be implemented sooner or later. And then, yeah, cool. So my last question that I always ask, which is one of my favorites, you don't have to answer it, but everybody so far answered it, no pressure. How much of your total funds do you hold in Bitcoin personally?
Maybe a bit too much. The recent bear market was a bit challenging to get through. So maybe my conviction at first was a bit too strong, but just a healthy amount, I would say.
Okay, in percentage?
I don't even know. It was couldn't say.
Okay, but like a big portion of your funds.
Yeah, a few sets here and there, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Hey, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, Ollie.
Thank you for inviting me.
They probably just hit you up on Twitter or how can they reach you?
Yes, I'm called Google on Twitter and everywhere else. I'm called Gugero. Also, just yep. Also happy to answer questions. Join our Slack if you have technical questions. We have Lightning Labs community Slack that's pretty active. And yeah,
just awesome. Cool. Thank you very much.
Try out Lightning.
Yeah, absolutely. Try out, and if you have questions, ask them. Thank you very much, man, for coming up.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Cheers.
Sure. See ya.